For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Again. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Well, that is Mary's testimony that the mighty one had done great things for her, and holy is his name. And it's my prayer that that is your testimony today, that the mighty one has done great things for you. This is the story of how the holy God comes and meets with people who are unimportant. People like Mary, who were low in class, not well known, not very important. This is the story of how the Holy One came to Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's really hard to say, isn't it? It sounds like a sneeze, Ephrathah. But how Bethlehem, it was so important, and yet the Holy One came and did something beautiful and great in that place. Now, young people, I want to ask you a question. I want you to imagine that you have some good news to tell someone. Maybe you have scored a goal when you were playing soccer. Maybe you have passed your exams. Maybe a little brother or sister has been born in your family. I want you to tell me, who are you going to tell first, and how will you tell them? Will you pick up the phone? Will you send them a text? Will you take a photo and post it on Instagram? Who will you tell? Hands up and tell me who you're going to tell. Will you tell me? Who's going to go first? If you have good news, okay, I'm going to try my sons first of all. Ian, who would you tell first?
You.
That's the right answer. And how would you tell me?
Slowly.
Slowly. Okay, good answer. Who else wants to have a go? Let's go to the back row. There's lots of young people here. Ah, the heads are going down, down, down. Okay, boys, if you had good news, who would you tell it to first?
No English.
Uh-oh. What language do you speak? What's your language? Français?
Swahili.
Okay, Sepa, you translate. You've a question to answer. Baba?
Mama,
not Baba. Mama? Okay. And by phone? By text?
By mouth.
Oh, by mouth. Sawa, sawa. Asante sana. Okay, anybody else? Better. If you had good news, who would you tell first?
Probably my parents.
Oh, you're very loyal to your parents. This is interesting. Not your best friend?
I don't know. Maybe her too.
Maybe her too. And how would you tell them, would you? Text or phone?
Probably text them, yeah.
Probably text them. There we go. Well, thank you, young people, for letting me know about how you would tell good news. Well, Mary had good news to tell, but she didn't use her phone. She didn't take a picture. She had to travel a long journey to Elizabeth, one of her relatives. And when she hears that she is going to be the mother of Jesus, She goes this long distance. And when the two women meet, they sing and they dance together, a wonderful song of celebration that God is her savior. Now, for the last 2 weeks in Church of the Servant, we've been thinking about John the Baptist. And that's the story of Elizabeth, who was an old lady. And she carried a lot of shame in her culture because she was old. She didn't have any children. And now that she knew she was going to have a baby, she could be happy. She could rejoice because she knew no longer would she carry shame in her culture, but she would be a woman of honor. But for Mary, the story was so different because this was not the baby that she had hoped for. Unlike Elizabeth, she wasn't old. She was very, very young. And to have a baby when she was not married meant that she was going to be carrying shame, not honor. And I am sure she must have been so scared, so terrified to have a child outside of marriage. But somehow Mary goes on this journey. She begins with the simple words to the angel Gabriel, "I'm going to let this be according to the word that God brings to me." And by the time she reaches Elizabeth, those simple words have exploded into a song of rich praise and worship. How does she get there from shame to joy? Well, the key is that Elizabeth meets Mary, and the moment that these two ladies come together, something happens in Elizabeth's womb. The baby inside her womb begins to leap for joy because it recognizes that Jesus is here. And there's this recognition between one woman and the other woman that it's the same God working in both their lives. In both Elizabeth and Mary's life, they have said yes to God. And you know, sometimes I think at Christmas time, we sing carols and other songs that help us escape from our troubles and get away. We think of snow and white Christmases where everything is perfect. But Mary's song is different because it's not about escaping from her troubles, but it's all about how God will bring transformation and open up a pathway and bring a transformation through. It is a song of reality, not about escape, about how Jesus will come and turn the whole world upside down for whoever believes in him. And so you see, Mary does not hide. She isn't afraid. She doesn't feel the shame. But she says yes to God because she went to look for someone whom she knows the Spirit is also working in. Mary looks for where God is on the move. And my question to you today is, do you do that? Whenever you feel scared, whenever you're not sure about what the day might hold, about what might happen tomorrow, do you seek out other people in whom you see God clearly on the move with? Mary did that. She found Elizabeth, and that helped calm her doubts and her fears. All her questions, all her ponderings, they got answered, and her faith was strengthened. And so she begins to sing this beautiful song, which is in two parts. A beautiful song in two parts. The first part talks about what God has done for her, And then the second part describes what God has done for all of us. And Mary begins by saying, "Magnify the Lord with me." That word magnify is really interesting. Have you ever used a magnifying glass? Have you? Where you try to make something look, is it bigger or smaller with a magnifying glass? Shout it out. Yes, you maybe see a little tiny spider or a creature, and you put a magnifying glass on it, and it makes it look bigger, doesn't it? Now, here's the question. Why does Mary say, "Magnify the Lord with me"? Because is God big or small? He's big. So why does Mary say, "Magnify the Lord with me"? Well, it's not because God is small like an insect, but instead think of a telescope where you put a telescope to the moon, which is very big, but you need the lens to bring it closer to you and make it visible. And so what Mary is doing when she magnifies the Lord is not making something bigger, which is smaller, but making something visible, which is invisible. God can sometimes seem so distant, but through this lens of Mary, she is showing the world who God is and what he is like. That he is her Savior and he has done so much for her. And this is worship. Magnifying the Lord is making God visible to others. But this worship is also personal. Look at the next slide. What is it that glorifies the Lord? Do you see at the start? What glorifies the Lord? Shout it out. It is my soul. And what is it that rejoices in God, my Savior? It is my spirit. So it's not just the outside of Mary's body that she's offering in praise, but it is deep within her being, my soul and my spirit. Too often when people were worshiping God, God criticized them because he said, "You are only worshiping me with the outside, but your heart is far from me." And God said, "That is dangerous because that tells me you're neglecting the poor. You're not doing what is just." And it came to the part in the Old Testament when God was using Amos, the prophet. He said, "I don't like the way you are worshiping. I despise your feasts. Let justice roll down like rivers. Let righteousness like a never-failing stream. Get your heart right with me." But Mary was different. She rejoiced because she knew that she was nothing. And God had given everything to her. And his hands were just hands. And that's why she said, "I am God's handmaid. I am God's slave. I don't deserve to be treated this way, but God has shown me favor." And that's why she was grateful, because God had poured everything into her life. And so from the depth of her soul and the depth of her spirit, she was praising and magnifying God. This is the heart of worship for us today. There is a story that is told about a convent where everyone was gathering together for evening prayers to sing together. And normally, the person who led the singing was this very old priest, and he sang with a very crackled, broken voice. But this one particular evening, a visiting choir came to lead the singing, and their beautiful singing filled the convent. But that night, an angel came and visited one of the priests in a dream and said, Normally we hear such beautiful singing coming from your convent, but tonight we didn't hear anything. Why was that? And the priest replied, but surely you heard this choir that had come to sing with us beautiful music. And the angel said, ah, but the music that reaches heaven's gates is not the music that the mortal man hears. The music that reaches us is the music that comes from the heart. And you see, even though the old priest didn't sound good, his voice was old and crackled, because his heart was right, God heard it. And one of the major blocks to how we worship is pride. When we turn up to worship and we think we deserve better, when we set ourselves up and we put God down, whenever we think we are over all the wrongs that have been done to us and we hold on to them and we think justice needs to be done, that's when worship can get a little bit skewed. But Mary was so different. She came from Nazareth. And you remember what they said about Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And she was far away from the temple in Jerusalem, where Zechariah was the priest. You would expect that's where the Savior should be announced. And yet he wasn't. He was announced to this little girl away from the elite. And Mary knew, I have a story to tell. And if Mary has been given a story to tell, we too have a story to sing. We too are called to say, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Not just when life goes well, but all through our life. Mary uses the phrase, he has, 8 times in her song. Because this song is not about Mary. It's about God and all the many ways God has blessed her. And this is a worship that's not based on circumstance. Mary was not just praising because life was good. She didn't know what lay ahead of her. She didn't know how all of this was going to work out, but she still chose to praise. And so we sing again. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And so that's Mary's song today, about how God took her as someone unimportant and lifted her up. But then Mary turns her gaze to all God's people and says, in the same way God has done this for me, he's going to do it for you. He is going to lift the low up and bring the proud down. And in Mary's song, she describes 3 great reversals. First of all, how God establishes his strength and takes down the proud in verse 51. But then in verse 52, he talks about how God puts down the people at the top and lifts up the people from the bottom. And then finally in verse 53, God says, I'm going to fill the hungry and send away the rich with emptiness. And you see, God is doing a work of transformation to all those who are hurting, all those who are struggling, all those who say to themselves, I don't feel a person of worth. God lifts them up. And the interesting thing about this story is Mary says God has already done it. It's not he's going to do it in the future, but Mary was so confident of God's work, Even though she didn't know how he was going to do it, she was able to say, "He has already done this." Mary saw her present in terms of her future. Even though she was a single, unmarried mother, her future was bright because she said yes to God. And today we can learn from Mary, because sometimes we think God only speaks to those who know their Bible very well, or God only speaks to the pastor or the elders or the deacons who might pray more than I do. But Mary was so young and God spoke to her. And we don't have to wait for God to speak to us. He can speak to each one of us today if we say yes to God. Mary went and looked for where God was on the move. She didn't try to escape her circumstances. Even though she was going to carry shame in her culture, she didn't live as a victim. And this is important for us when we think we deserve better, when we remember wrongs that have been done to us from the past, when we carry all our hurts. True worship is letting go of all these things and allowing God's yes to come into the present so that we can embrace the future. And trusting that God will scatter all those who are proud and think they deserve better and have grown bitter. God will scatter all those people. And if we choose this posture of worship, think of how it would change our countries. I think of the country of Rwanda. Is there anybody from Rwanda here today? There we go. Yes, yes. You inspire us, so you do. How you keep looking to the future. How you train yourselves to say, "I am from this country." And I think of the new flag that you have created. Green, the color of hope. Yellow, the color of potential. Blue, the color of peace. That's looking to the future, letting go of flags of the past and choosing a new future where you say yes to God. What if we choose to magnify God today, to make ourselves lowly, to make God lofty, where we are nothing but Jesus is everything, where our worship is from the heart, where it is continual, regardless of what happens today or tomorrow or the next day. So what about you? Let me ask you some questions in closing. Here's a young teenage mum setting the pattern of how we should worship today. So here are some questions. Let's see them. Is there one more question? Have we let our circumstances overshadow giving God full and total praise? Mary had so much to be worried about. She was uncertain of her future, and yet she chose to let go of these things and let God be big in her life. Can we do the same? Next question. Have we become so consumed with the past in our present that it is crowding out the glory of what God can do in our future? Have we got so heavy by what has gone wrong that we can no longer see what is going right and how God wants to pour his whole being afresh into our lives? And finally, how can we encourage our young people, our teenagers, to see life this way, not to want to escape the world by playing games, being on their iPads or on their screens, but to believe God is the God of their future, to go beyond our own little worlds and dream of a kingdom that far outlasts our own generations. And so let us respond by emptying ourselves from all that separates us from getting close to God. Let us open ourselves afresh to his grace, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. And wouldn't it be amazing that instead of making this Advent season defined by shopping lists, things we need to do, we choose to magnify the Lord, to enter into his large kingdom world and enlarge our imaginations of what God can do. May God make us grateful. May God make us joyful participants in what has been and what is yet to come. So let's sing one last time, and may this be your story and testimony today. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name.